This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now on the WaitForIt.com hotline, he's our Falcons insider, our United insider, and he's precocious. That's what they call him, Smoking Joe Patrick. Hey, man, what's going on, Joe?
What's going on, guys? Just enjoying myself some March Madness here.
Right on. I mean, Chris, I did a meme today. I can't say – I cussed on my meme on Twitter, but I may trend. But I basically said, no one gives a blank about your bracket, Joe.
Yeah, I saw that. It is – you know, it's very much like the fantasy football where, like, you know, guys – people love to talk about who's on their fantasy. Nobody else really cares except for that one person who it's the biggest thing in the world to.
Exactly.
Right on. But, yeah, Chris, it was funny. Chris was like, my Louisville.
Chris like, yeah.
And we'll talk more about Georgia coming up. But real quick, I mean, the Falcons, do you still think Anya Mata's going to get cut? I mean, I know they have to have cash for your draft class, but we were kind of surprised that they continue to keep making moves.
I mean, I know. It is odd that he is still on the team, and it's not that he's, like, necessarily some scrub player or anything, but just given the cost and what is, you know, I believe he's about $17 million against the cap this year or something like that. And Grady was not that much more. And, you know, obviously they made the move they did with Grady. I personally think that he's kind of being held in reserve right now. Like, you know, they're happy to keep him at the time. But if they, you know, draft somebody who's clearly going to take his spot or something like that, make another free agency signing potentially, depending on how the draft unfolds, then they could just kind of cut him loose and open up money that way. But it is bizarre because I certainly thought, I mean, I know we've had like tons of conversations about this over the offseason. I thought he would be one of the first names off the team sheet, I guess, to kind of borrow a phrase from another sport. But it is an interesting one.
All right, Joe, they signed Jordan Fuller yesterday. Still haven't seen an amount on that yet. If you know, let us know. Is he sliding right into a starting spot, or you think he's going to compete? And do you think this eliminates safety off the board for the Falcons early?
Yeah, I'm also interested to see that number, Chris, because I think it will tell us a lot about just how much the Falcons are valuing him and exactly what kind of role that's going to be. Because usually you can tell by the amount of money they're going to make, whether that's kind of starting money or if that is – like kind of to the point that you just made, money to maybe just come in and basically compete for a starting job with obviously DeMarco Helms, who's going to be coming back from a season-ending injury that he had last year in preseason. And I've seen this debate kind of going on about whether that takes a safety off the board, obviously because Malachi Starks is, you know, from Georgia and obviously one of the top safeties and clearly a position of need for this team. I think still, having said that, I would say that I do think that this changes things slightly. I mean, Jordan Fuller, from my perspective, this just is kind of a continuation of a theme that the Falcons have had in their offseason moves, which is to, you know, stock up the cupboards, for basically, to have yourself so that you're not completely, you know, in need at one spot going into the draft. But I would say that this has to kind of take it slightly down, right? I mean, like, obviously before the signing, safety was a very, very clear need where you didn't know exactly who your starter was going to be. Now I think you can say, okay, well, the starter is potentially going to be obviously Jesse Bates and then either DeMarco Helms or Jordan Fuller. But we'll see. I mean, I do think that it changes slightly, but I wouldn't say that it – eliminates the potential that Malachi Starks could come off the board to the Falcons, but I certainly would say that it opens up the board for what the Falcons could do here. And maybe that it could be Malachi Starks, could be, you know, Mykel Williams, could be Jalen Walker. I think that there's a number of ways that this team could go. But for me personally, I would have been aiming at edge before this Jordan Fuller move.
Right.
And I would still be looking that way. I don't think you need to keep it simple, stupid. That's kind of the way I see this one for the Falcons.
Right. Leonard Floyd is a temporary fix. We talked about Morgan Fox. I didn't say Megan Fox, although
good
I'd be
job.
More interested in Megan. But these are all people, and you mentioned, bringing in guys that there's familiarity, with Coach Jordan Fuller played for
right.
Raheem Morris when he was the DC with the Rams. And that's how the world works in business and in the NFL. You go with guys you know. But could you anticipate us, if just for argument's sake, they don't have Mykel Williams as high as we think maybe they should. Who knows? See, that's the thing. I don't know if he's going to be a 10-sack guy. I ask all of our experts,
right.
Joe, what does your spidey sense tell you? Can he be that guy for us? How are they going to use him? Or should we just go with a guy like Mike Green or something else?
So I think that Mykel Williams can be. And honestly, I think he's one of my favorite kind of prospects for the Falcons in particular because of his profile being a true three-down defender. Obviously, Arnold Ebuchadie, this is going to be his last year under contract with the Falcons, and they'll have to decide whether they want to re-sign him or not. But I see edge defender like Arnold Ebuchadie as being very different from a Mykel Williams, who would be a guy who is, again, he's kind of the stout and the more kind of power end, where Arnold Ebuchadie is kind of, the lighter weight, kind of flying around and trying to get into the backfield, that type of edge rusher. So, and I think that, honestly, I think the Falcons would be looking for someone more along the lines of a Mykel Williams, but you're never going to, complain about, quality production from that position wherever you can get it. So whether that is Mike Green or somebody else. But I do kind of see a similarity here at this position, potentially, as being similar to what the team did last year. Now, obviously, the team isn't kind of last year at the quarterback position. Now, obviously, the team isn't spending the kind of money on Leonard Floyd that they did on Kirk Cousins before they go and then spend their first-round pick on the same position. But I think you can say, we wanted to get in somebody with, bona fide track record of production at the position, at the quarterback position. That was Kirk Cousins. You just have to pay more for that. But I think that you can argue that they did something similar here with Floyd. And when you look at what the Falcons have done between Floyd and Morgan Fox, they've added sack production. it's one sack, but considering that you're losing, a really quality player in Grady Jarrett, I think it totally makes sense with what they've done to try to replace those guys at kind of a budget cost. And I think that now is the time, again, if you don't plan to be picking this high, I'm sure they don't want to be picking in the middle teens in the years to come. You're not going to get many opportunities to go out and get these premium edge rushers, especially since this draft class is so stocked full of those types of players. So I think this is their opportunity to go out and get that guy that they can lock down, obviously, for the first 5 years and then hopefully a lot of years to come after that.
All right, Joe. The latest saga as the world turns for Kirk Cousins. We get dueling reports over the last 24 hours. Josina Anderson reports Falcons are fielding calls for Cousins, multiple, could be as high as a third-round pick. Then Jordan Schultz of Fox, quote, they're calling everyone right now that'll listen, meaning the Falcons. So two prominent reporters saying two different things about the state of where Cousins is. What is your latest on what you think will happen with Kirk and his future in Atlanta?
Yeah, I continue to kind of think that Kirk is most likely not going to be on the Falcons by the time that week one rolls around. But not that that couldn't happen. I just think that there will ultimately be teams that need a quarterback and need a solution at quarterback and come to Kirk Cousins. And so it is interesting to see these two reports. When the Josina Anderson report came out, I didn't really honestly put much stock into it just because I'm just having trouble believing, basically,
right.
What was being reported there. I think what Jordan Schultz reported is more believable, I guess. But, everybody can take those how they want. And just, their reports are reports. But I will say overall, Chris, when I'm looking at this quarterback landscape, there are still, nearly a handful of teams out there that don't really have the quarterback position settled at this point in time and probably are not going to have it settled after the draft. Like, there are, how many starting quarterbacks are there in this draft? Like, how many are going to be coming out of it and starting for their team in week one? Like, maybe one or two?
So maybe two, it's maybe three tops.
Obviously not a strong class. And the Falcons were able – I'll give them credit to having seen around this corner last year and seeing how weak this draft class was going to be. And it kind of – you know, it's kind of funny how that weak class that they were so worried about last year could now be one of the ways that they're able to move Kirk Cousins out. And there's one team in particular that's got, kind of got me intrigued right now, and that's the Minnesota Vikings. And, it, you know, there was a report that came out yesterday saying that they were going to not deny, not that they didn't want Aaron Rodgers anymore, but they were going to wait on that decision until after they were able to get a closer look at J.J. McCarthy in the spring. That would align with some of the reports that we've heard about Kirk Cousins' desires to kind of choose his team after the draft so he can see the way that these quarterbacks shake out. And I wonder if these things are connected at all. Because if they are, then, you know, Kirk Cousins would, I'm sure, love to go back to Minnesota, where he's obviously got tons of relations with the coaching staff and elsewhere. He's obviously got a house there, and they play in a dome. There's just a lot of things that would make sense for him to go back there. Now, there's obviously a lot of ways that that could not happen as well. And there's some other teams, the Giants, the Titans, I would also kind of highlight as, you know, key teams that, that would, could potentially be looking for a player like him. But I say this to say that I think there are going to be suitors for Kirk Cousins this summer and going into next season.
Right, and that's what Carl's been saying. Might be post-June. Just still don't think you'll have him on the roster. I mean, if they're prepared to do that, they can deal with all the weirdness that will come with it. That will be interesting. Still will need to have a backup quarterback because at any minute, Kirk Cousins could be gone. We didn't get a chance to talk about United in a nutshell. Stop running into each other in the front and play better defense. There you go. All right, Joe, we will talk to you next week. That's our Falcons Insider. Good.